The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best, with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful day. Thank you for being a part of the show. Right off the top, I want to ask you, is the external presentation an act to protect the internal self, which is the true you? Do you know that is the case? Why? Welcome to the Barrington Show, everyone. Thank you for being here. I want to say a special welcome to the new listeners. Thank you again for joining us and our friends, everybody who loves the show, everybody loves what we talk about and being a part of Barrington Awaken. What we do here is we talk about spirituality. We talk about philosophy. We get you to wake up to your higher self, to move in a direction that you have the ability to create everything that you desire in life, including your surroundings. You have the ability to change the surroundings. Maybe you have to move, but regardless, it is change. Wake up to a higher level of consciousness and live your true self. Understand that within you, you are the giant that has not been woken up. We're saying wake up. Wake up to a new reality. Understand that you're on the top shelf. All that you are now is what you have thought of yourself some days ago, weeks, maybe years ago. But today you have that ability, or from here on in, to acknowledge the fact that you might not be living your true self. You might be putting on a mask to try to impress the world, but behind the mask is the true you, the self that you're trying to protect from everyone else. Maybe it's because you were hurt or it didn't work for you in the past, or you don't think you are worthy. I am here to tell you that everybody who exists on this planet carries the same tools, the same capability. Much like common sense, a lot of us choose not to use it, but I assure you, everyone has common sense. We are sometimes not aware of having it, and we try not to apply it, and of course, we get the questions all the time. Why don't you use your common sense? And it is truth. It is within you. Wake up to understanding that all that you are was a thought that you've had in previous life, days, weeks, maybe this morning. Come to your true power. The day you were born and you were brought to this planet, you came in clean, purified, and strong with a desire or an urge to accomplish something in life. Through our training, upbringing, maybe the culture or just our situation in life has taken us off the path that we rightfully deserve. It is our birthright. We occupy a space, we call that the body. You now know or should know that you are not the body. You reside in the body, and the body gets you from point A to point B and make things physical where you can touch them. Before that, we were just the breath. We come in, we go out. We use the body and our time that we're here, born this year, died that year, and there's a dash between those two numbers. We're trying to figure out, what does that dash represent? What does your life mean? What is your true purpose? If somebody is taking advantage of you and you're aware of it, why would you put up with it? If you're not aware of it, please get a clue, find out, and do not allow anyone to treat you how you tell them to treat you. If the treating is bad, it's the message that you've sent to them. Wake up. Wake up and learn spirituality. Our minds are cluttered every single day because of what we do, because of our activities. And it's not likely for a lot of us to step out of that situation and assess it properly. We were thrust into it through birth or through upbringing, culture, maybe religion. And it is now a part of our existence. We need to be able to get in there and change that. With all the things that's going through your mind every single day, every minute, every second of every minute of every hour of every day, you get the picture. We are believing the stories we're telling ourselves simply because we're acting as such. How do we stop that? Well, we have to slow it down. And because we can't step out of it, it's always going to be a part of our existence, no matter what. You have to allow yourself to not allow those thoughts to get you in trouble, or maybe out of trouble, I don't know, but get to influence you. And what you're trying to do is to control that. Wake up. Wake up and understand that you're the greatest that ever existed, and you are just as important as everybody else. Your existence and your time here is as meaningful as everyone else. There's no way you are lesser, and equally, you can't be greater. You've cut from the same cloth. We've come here by the same method. We will spend our time here regardless of what you do, and then you will leave by the same method. Explain to me anywhere in that that says that you're lesser. You're not worthy. You're not accepted. In that statement, none of those exist. And equally, you're not superior either. We are this one family. I say it on most of my shows. Is the one race, the human race. And we all carry the same qualities. When we were born, we had a bag of all that we will need, require to get us through lives. To build greatness, it's in there. To build strength, it's in there. To not have fear, definitely is in there. To not have the ability to think that you are lesser, it's in there. All the things that we desire in life is residing within us. What we try to do when we wake you up to a higher level of consciousness is for you to take notice of the tool that you carry, the possession that you could have, the strength that's built within you, the fearless attitude that's among everything. Are you afraid to leave that job because it's not working for you, or you might not be able to replace it or do better? Well, that's just a shame, because you do have that ability. You're not designed to sink. You're designed to float. If you're not floating, what are you telling yourself? Are you allowing another person's thought or people's thoughts to control your time that you're here? The most valuable currency that exists here is time. And how are you spending it? What are you using it for? Is it just to sit back, chill, have a beer, put your foot up and enjoy life? Well, that could very well be it. But if it isn't, you're spending the most valuable currency that's been allotted to you, or you wanted, because you did choose to come here to live this life. We are only the breath. We do control the body. We have the abilities to make it big, small, whatever we want to do. And it's within us. But all of that ingenuity is being dictated to by the mind. And it's what you feed in is how you will live. You are what you eat. Equally, you are what you've thought about. So we're trying not to go down that rabbit hole, pardon the expression, and to live a life that it's not what we chose or what we would have wanted or within the back of our minds, we hear this little voice saying, I want to do this. I want to do this. Say it often enough and make it a priority, and you have the ability to accomplish that. You just have to know that you have the abilities to accomplish that. So we talk about waking up and come to your reality and understanding who you truly are. Understand self. And to your own self, you need to be true. So when you walk with that mask on your face, you're only impressing one person. Have an impression on one person, I'm sorry. The one that matters the most. You. Wake up. Bring yourself to that higher level of consciousness. Study spirituality. Understand how it is connecting us to all that there is, the great wave of life, the very source that governs our existence. Learn to get the instructions, and it's being dictated to you or downloaded. You're just not on that same channel to receive it. And sometimes you dismiss it as mere rubbish. But if somebody's trying to yell instructions of you, stay away from that cliff. Stay away from that cliff, and you're not listening. Well, guess what's going to happen? Yes, you will slip and go over, may slip and go over that cliff. So we say, wake up and come to your own reality. Oh, that's an easy word to say. Come to your own reality and realize that you are the God that exists. We have people disagreeing with me for saying that a lot, but if we're created by the source, we're created by the universe, we're part of the universe, that means the product that we are is all that there is. We're connected to it like a drop of water, an ice cube is connected to the ocean. And if you leave it alone, it'll find its way back there. This is why I say, welcome home. If you leave that ice cube alone, let it sit on your table. It'll disappear eventually, depending on the temperature of your house. And then it will go back to its original source, no matter where you've taken it. You could trap it, lock it in a bottle or a glass or a situation. But the minute it has the ability to get up and go, it will go back to its original source. We will do the same. We will inevitably end up back to our original source, which is the great wave of life, and all things that exist here exist within us. So we talk about spirituality to allow you to identify yourself as a super being, to identify yourself, to understand that no one stands in your way except yourself. For you to understand all the things that you hope or want to accomplish, you've got your hand on the trigger or your foot on the pedal. You just have to press go, take a step, move, do something towards it. And usually all of that begins with the desire for change, if that's what you seek. Some people are comfortable, accepted, settled in, or stable where they are. Perfect, good for you. I applaud those. And if you are that one, congratulations. Please teach that skill to others. But make sure you're very complete in expressing that you are comfortable without a mask and or false image. Wake up. Wake up and welcome to the Barrington Show. Thank you very much. I want to say a special welcome to all the new listeners, as well as my longtime listeners from wherever you are in the world today, listening to this broadcast. Please, I thank you and welcome everyone. Welcome home. And I always say home is where your heart is and where you belong. Your spiritual existence, you are the breath, you are supernatural. You've got all the powers. I've got a lot of questions here, people asking me all the time. If I am that super God, what's my special power? Well, the ability to do all things that you want to do. I think that's an amazing superpower. They just have to know that and live accordingly. So, welcome. Today, our show today is called Adjusting. And we're trying to adjust ourselves to situations once we've made changes. I say all that. I knew somebody who was uncomfortable with their size many years ago, and they went out and did a surgery that was able to reduce them to a more comfortable size. And that's fine. This is what they wanted to do. That was the method they knew, and it worked, thank God. But what I realized after knowing this person, that you haven't adjusted your mind to the new person that you've become. And what you may not understand, or those who have done the same may not understand, that once you're in a new platform, you have to act accordingly. You've heard, if you're at Rome, you must do what the Romans do, if there's such a thing. Anyway, the point being is that once you've made that change, let's say the physical change occurred, if we're talking about a weight, you have to now adjust your mentality, your mind, to accept, to be here and now. That's hard to do, because you've been holding on to the other image, the other way of life, the way you were treated, were you rich, were you poor, were you discriminated against, were you big, are you not small? You have to be able to bring your mind to that state. Now, to go from one place to the other, you had to have made a decision. Was it a physical one? Okay, maybe. Was it mental decision? Not, there's no such thing as a physical decision. But what I'm trying to say is, did you do something physical to get you to this place? Or did you plan your steps gingerly and move towards your new spot? If that's the case, then you would have adjusted the mind gradually as you progress to where you are now. Because in order for it to happen, in order for you to create it, you would have seen it and you take a step towards it, and it takes a step towards you. This is the level, this is the point of success, the stage of your own success, dependent or whatever that may be. But you would have made a conscious decision at some point to move towards that, because that's what you're hoping to accomplish. That's what your goals are set on. So if you've done it that way, and I'll give you an example. If you had decided, made a conscious decision in your mind that you don't want, let's say, I'm just using the weight thing, for example, let's say you've moved in your mind, you don't want to be that person that's overweight anymore, or that person that eats meat anymore, or that person who's a bad seed in the eye of everyone else anymore. You would have made a decision for that. And in doing that, the moment you've made that decision, you're moving towards it, providing you don't turn around and change your direction, providing you hold steadfast and move towards what your perceptive goal may be. You're going towards it. Now, if you were thrust into it, be it you won the lottery, if you're talking about riches, or you had a surgery, if you're talking about losing the weight, or you're thrust into a neighborhood that you were never a part of. Well, here's the thing. You are here now. So what we talk about is adjusting your mind to accepting your new position. Your grandma for the first time, you have to adjust to that position if there's something to do. So if you're not doing it, if you're not making that mental adjustment in yourself, in your mind, then you're being dragged back into that life that you hope that you may have not wanted. Because you're telling yourself you haven't left, though you've seen the changes. It comes with good and it comes with bad. There is always a little bit of bitterness or anger or frustration in the new you, the new mindset, the new place that you dwell. You have to adjust. The learning curve must occur, because you can't be the Bigfoot that lives in the Alaska and then decide you want to go lay on the beach in California, if that's such a thing, and live the same life. You're in two separate environments. You have to learn to adjust to that. You have to learn to be a part of the newness. Same thing happens if you were to go out there, for example, and you run like crazy and you were to shred a lot of pounds. You have to tell yourself and understand the new you isn't going to live the life that the old you did, because you didn't like being there. You didn't like sitting in that chair. So you have to adjust the mind into moving into the new you. Like, you've got elevated in your company and you're now in a different position. You may have to change your clothes. I don't know. The attire, maybe the car, maybe the lingo, the language, whatever the case may be, something needs to be adjusted, because the old you cannot live in the new situation with the old mindset. I hope you followed me on this one. Adjusting and understanding how to adjust. If you want to make changes in your life, it's the same concept. You have to adjust and accept what is new. We cannot live in the new situation with the old mindset, because the old mindset has got rubber bands attached to you and it's constantly pulling you back into what you're trying to get away from. You have to make that adjustment. Now, all this that I'm saying is a lot to take in, and of course, a lot to remember, to retain, to bring it back out. Let me say this as a side note, that your cells don't forget anything. If you want to get the message, and the message will stick forever. I've heard this rumor many years ago that if you do it 27 times in a row at the same time, it becomes a habit. Probably true. I've never tested that theory, but I do agree with it, because you've told yourself for the whole cycle of the moon that you are now this, and you are going to do this, and you're going to do that. When you step away from it, you feel as if something's missing. We have to create the habit within us to see the new position that we hold in life. And it could be whatever it may be. And for a lot of us, we've come up through birth, from birth to this stage, or wherever you are today, believing this idea is the truth or the best or the worst. How do you change that? Because if you don't, then you'll be stuck in the same position. There's no point in going to battle are trying to accomplish or achieve change with the old mindset. Adjusting is what we're talking about. Do we have any
emails? We do. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. Write us right now with a question, a thought process. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Bud wrote in, "Hello, Barrington. You talk about changing our surroundings. I can't. I'm poor." Okay. Bud, I don't think that's what he meant, but thank you very much. Charlene wrote in, "There is only one who was the greatest, and it's not us. It was Ali." Of course, talking about the amazing Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Thank you, Charlene. Annie wrote in, "Common sense with people. When will we start to see it?" Okay, that's Annie. Everyone's a comedian today, Barrington. Let's see, the last one, last person who wrote in, nope, I got two more, hang on. Les wrote in, "People that treat me bad, I really don't like that. My boss treats me bad, but what can I really do? I need my job, I can't tell him off." That's from Les, sorry about that, Les. Ed writes in, "Barrington, if we are gods, if we all are gods, can we cure people?" And that's from Ed, and back to you.
Okay, well, thank you. You're right. A lot of people are very funny today and cracking good jokes. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Put a smile on my face. Ed, yeah, we are gods, and we're all gods, and that's hard to accept for a lot of other people. Can we cure ourselves? Can we cure other people? I'm sorry. Absolutely. I don't know that you could cure them without their permission, meaning that they're allowing you to guide them to the path of where cure would be readily available. The best method, though, is if you learn how to cure yourself and you live that life, you are setting an image for others to follow and go through. Now, prevention is a lot harder, is a lot easier than the cure itself. Wow, I'm having a bad day with words. Preventions is a lot harder than the cure itself. So what we talk about in spirituality is, if you were to align yourself a certain way and you understand this much about yourself, about your body, about the functionality, about everything that makes you who you are, which all that is possible. Wisdom is available to everyone. All those things are possible. When you get there, you will understand that you are the master key for the body, and absolutely you can take care, cure yourself. or find out the method or what's missing or what needs to be done for you to get this perfect level of cure. Once you've perfected that, by all means, you tell that to one friend and it'll just blossom and bloom. But in order to cure people, they have to be a willing participant. I did a show a while back, and we talk about the voodoo or bad magic or the devil. And the thing is, they're only real because you think they're real. So if somebody's threatening to cast a spell on you, it will work if you believe him. And if you stub your toe, oh my Lord, that's what he did. And so forth, or she, or they, or whatever. But the thing is, it's your mindset. If you agree with what somebody has said to you, then you live accordingly. If somebody tells you you're stupid, and that's why we're very, very careful about what we say to our children, young and impressionable minds. You tell somebody that they're stupid, they're ugly, they're fat, that all these things, they will internalize this. They're very young. They're very, you could express anything to them and they will fall for it because we're the adults, if we are the adults, and we'll say to them, this is the situation, and they'll accept it. And if you're accepting certain things in life, you have no need to question it or to get above, around, or you know, get past it. We do have this ability. Every single one of us has this ability to cure ourselves. The problem is, once we realize that there's a huge issue going on, we're often too late or very close to being too late, and we just surrender ourselves to it and give up. We talk about disease that affects us when we're in our 70s, 80s, 90s. That's been brewing since we're in our 40s. But because we didn't catch on to it right away, it gives us a really hard time to address it now, because you are going to believe, oh yeah, you're doomed, lay down, let's bury you right now, it's over with. And you give up. And once you give up, of course it's done. You have the ability to cure yourself. And yes, you can pass this information or teach others. You can't do it. You cannot give me something you don't have. You can't teach me how to cure or be at my best if you yourself don't know how to do it. You're only able to pass on what you know. For example, if you don't have your hands are empty right now, go ahead and give me $5. It's not possible. The minute you pick it up, yeah, then you could reach out and say, here you go. So you have the knowledge or the information within yourself, then it's a lot easier to pass it to others. How do you attain this information? It's wisdom. And if you get into the state of meditation, all things will reveal itself to you. You will know who you are. You will know your true identity. You will understand the greatness that you are. Now that you know, you can pass that information on. Less. I am very sad to hear that your boss is treating you badly and you do want the job. You do have to keep the job. And in doing that, doing all this, you endure some of what he's dishing out, or she. I have no knowledge of the situation other than what you've just expressed. It's not a fun place. And it's almost like being forced to carry a pebble in your shoe every single day. Ouch, that hurts. What it comes down to is, before I get into that, let me talk about how we catch the monkeys. People catch monkeys. And I've said it many times, is they put this pot in the ground with a very small opening, and they put fruits in there. And when the sun hits it and the fruit's starting to react and gives a smell, the monkeys will come out of the bush and see it, and they'll stick their hand in it to get the fruit or food. And by grabbing that food or treat, they cannot get their hands back out through that little opening that brought them there in the first place. So they're stuck. And because they're stuck, they're held there. The guy who set the trap to begin with will come with a bag and put it over that animal and take it away. So what happens is that poor animal has given away his life for what he was holding on to. And I've always say, after I tell that story, who is the true monkey? Not to insult anybody out there, but we're in a very bad situation. We're complaining how much it hurts, but we still stay with it. There was a man that walked into a store, and as he's going into the store, there was a dog that was laying on a nail, laying on the platform of the store on the way in, but the dog was crying and crying and crying and crying. And the man stepped over the dog, of course, went about his business, went into the store and said to the shopkeeper, "Is that your dog?" And he said, "Yeah, that's my dog." He says, "Well, he's out there crying." And the shopkeeper says, "Yeah, the dog is laying on a nail." And the man says, "Well, that's crazy. Why doesn't he get up?" And the shopkeeper said, "Well, it's not hurting him bad enough for him to get up, just enough for him to complain." I say, wake up. If it was hurting him bad enough, he wouldn't stay there and take it. I hope that helps. I hope that helps. Common sense. And, you know, we've done a show on common sense before, and we've talked about people not having common sense. Well, you know, Annie, they do. We all do. Everyone does. But we often try not to use it. No, I shouldn't say try not to use it. We often don't use it. And most often, not to the best of anyone else's inspection, because they will say, "Why aren't you using common sense?" And they themselves don't know that you're not, because they don't know how to react. However, everybody has common sense. Very few will use it. We get that. Why? We're not sure. They're lagging? No. Are they not clued in? Are they not as focused as you? Are they not as awoke as you? We're not sure, but they choose not to use it, but it's there. To ask me when they're going to start to use it, wow, that would be nice to know. That would be really nice to know. We are that animal that walked over to that open pot in the ground and stuck her hand in it. And we hold on to something that's causing us discomfort. You would think common sense, and there was a Homer Simpson episode of his hand being stuck in a vending machine, and he couldn't get it out. And they, you know, tried everything, and they're about to cut his arm off. And just before the guy was to put the chainsaw to cut his arm off, he says, "By the way, are you still holding on to that can?" He was stealing Coke out of a machine, or can, I don't know if it was Coke. And the guy goes, "Are you still holding on to that machine, that can?" And he goes, "Yes." The guy says, "Let it go." He lets it go. And of course, he was able to move his arm out. He was willing to cut the arm off because he wanted to hold on to what he had in his hand. Common sense. We all have it. Do we all use it or apply it? And when you're applying your common sense, it may not go in unison with others who are not, or who's judging the situation. But yeah, be sure we all have common sense, including you. Do we know how to use it? Maybe we don't. But what we can do is practice on making sure that we understand that it's there, the application of it, and the fact that it's there as a protective measure for us, for you. It's almost as if the observer, the second part of you, second part of your existence, your spiritual self, will say, "Hey, smack you in the face. Come on. Wake up. Think about something." If you were trying to, and as having a conversation with somebody a while back, if you were trying to go in a pool of water and duck your head underneath it to, you know, end your life, well, that second side of you goes, get your head examined. Get up. Let's walk out of here, and you will. And if not, then you're going to fall unconscious, and then it's going to happen. Same thing will happen if you're trying to starve yourself in the presence of food. That same reactor, the observer, I call it, will say, "Hey, there's food over there. Let's go get it." At this point, you've become incoherent and you can't think for yourself, because the inner self, the greater self than you, is saying, "Okay, you're being ridiculous. I'm not signing up for this with you. I didn't sign to, you know, do this. I'm going to find food." And so said, so done. You will get up and you will go find food. If you've locked yourself in a container, it becomes a little bit more difficult. But the point being that you do have this innate ability to protect who you are. Common sense. Common sense. Ali, I agree with you. Charlene, I totally agree with you. There's one that was absolutely the greatest. Cannot be touched. The best. Absolutely, I agree with you. And I'm assuming you're talking about Muhammad Ali, you know, but he was the greatest. And he said it. He told people. He wasn't shy about it. He didn't, didn't try to hide it. He said, yeah, I'm the best. Come, let me prove it to you. And absolutely, we all have that ability in ourselves. I don't know if you have that in you to become a boxer, a fighter like Muhammad Ali was, but you have the ability to know that you are the greatest and act accordingly. Whatever it may be. Is it flipping burgers? Is it knocking somebody out in the ring? Is it flying an airplane or screwing in a light bulb? The ability for greatness, and it's not measured. Muhammad Ali's greatness was measured not so much even in the ring when he fought, and he was good at it. I think he's the best. That's my opinion. People will disagree, was the best. But it's what he did after that. He got a platform, he got people's attention, and then he went to fight for humanity and equality and rights. That's the great part. And he's absolutely, he's not shy in the ring either. But I'm simply saying he was a big person and he knew he was big. So he took it upon himself to go out and shine his light to show others. And people will just look at it and go, yeah, I want to be like that. And that brought us back to what we were saying earlier about, can you cure people or cure yourself? Once you've come to this platform and you're a big person and you're not abusing that strength or that power or taking advantage of another being, you're awesome. And others will see your light and want to move towards you. Some people's greatness or some people's accomplishment or purpose here is to provide a light so you could be guided to your great self. Just a light. So you could see your path. So you can understand. You could look at the Muhammad Ali's of the world, or the Gandhi, Mother Teresa, John Lewis, all these people, Martin Luther King, who's done Nelson Mandela, can't forget him, who's done amazing things, John Lennon with his music. Everybody has done amazing things to enlighten the world. And I tend to think a lot of people, maybe it's just me, a lot of people are taking their eye off the ball and not looking at the super GOAT. And I say the greatest of all time, that's the GOAT. And look at one man or three men who's decided to conquer the world and try to kill everybody else. The significant greatness, because of course he had, the weapons to do it, so he was able to accomplish a lot more, or the words and the money to back it up, but he was able to accomplish a lot more from a negative side. Now, you can argue that the world exists with a delicate balance of yin and yang. Yeah, it does. We choose a side. We have two wolves that's within us, and we choose to feed one, the evil or the good one. That's why, I don't know. One makes a great appearance and the other one, they say the nice guys finish last, but do they really? And when were you supposed to finish? Now, who determined that you're a nice guy? If you're trying to sell that book, that story, that lifestyle, you might be wrong. Because I've never heard that light that's guiding me or guiding anybody through a path of greatness ever stopping, hey, you got to pay me. Or isn't my light brighter than the light down the road? No, they just shine. Just the light, they just do what they do. And if you go out there and you've got this great ability within you, you owe it to the rest of the world to show it. And if you're not showing it, you're actually gypping me. Maybe that's not your intention, but give a good look at that. But you use the word poor. And it often confuses me. And I think you're talking about maybe not having enough money or having more money or any of those things. But you're alive and you're well and you're healthy and you've got the ability to create all the money you want. Why do you think you're poor? If that's what you're referring to. You have the same earning or capabilities and strength and everything within you to create what you need to make enough money for yourself. You've got the tools. So you've got this awesome machine, a beautiful car, it's well decorated, it's super vehicle on the road, it's parked in your garage, and then you complain, you got the keys too, and it's well gassed up, and you're complaining that you're saying that you're abandoned or you're stuck. Really? Do you realize you have this awesome machine within you to create the difference? And it's a mindset, but you have to know. And you don't necessarily have to go out there and get a shotgun or something else to go take from others. And you may say your path is a little bit jagged or rough, and you may not be able to get the smooth road to get to this great success. A lot of the time, you know, that great success is against you ethically, and you don't know, you don't want to do that or physically to do that to get to that great success that you talk about. And I'm just saying that because I'm referring to maybe the opposite of poor. I'm simply just saying that where you stand today is a thought that you had yesterday. Where you're hoping to be tomorrow or any other day is a thought that you must employ now. You can't change. That's not true. You're poor because you've said that to yourself many times, maybe. Maybe. You don't have enough? Yeah, you said that to yourself too. You need more? Well, you may have said something like that, but you haven't gone towards it because you're still there. And the last, wow, this ties in perfectly to what I was saying, that if you're not willing to release the boomerang, not the boomerang, release the ropes that tie you to your old beliefs. Adjust to now. Adjust to another time. Because if you fight your way to this point, you will snap back to what you're familiar with, because that's the fuel you're feeding your navigator. You know, you keep saying, okay, make a U-turn. All right, make a U-turn. Okay, make another U-turn. And you know, after many, many U-turns, you just say, the heck with it. I don't want to do this anymore. And you throw in the towel. But it's a state of mind. It's a mindset. And if you are going to accomplish or achieve any greatness, you have to know it's going to happen. You have to see it coming, and no one's going to knock on your door. I could say this with almost certainty and give you millions of dollars to change your situation. But if you did open the door and step through and start walking towards where you think it is, it'll start to find you, and then it'll happen. Wake up is what we're talking about. It's a mindset, bud, and we have to change that now. Thank you. I hope I answered all your questions. Everybody was satisfied with what they were hearing today. And this is our lives. We're sponge, we're clay. Our body is the clay, man. The mind is the potter that form it and make it what it is. You get a piece of clay. Remember when we were kids and we were given Play-Doh or you found your own mud? I don't know how it worked, but you were able to fashion what you wanted. You are still there in that chair. And you are the potter. You make what you want. It's easy enough to say, I don't know, I'm not very artistic. Personally, I think I'm the worst artist God's ever made. My kids still laugh when I try to draw them pictures. Anyway, the point being that you can make or fashion anything you want. You just have to learn the skills. You know, if you're going to put up a Mona Lisa in the museum, well, you may have to give it a lot more time. If you want to fly through the air and slam dunk that ball, let's hope you're not past a certain age because the body just can't physically do that anymore. But if you are at that level, you have to have the strong desire to get there and not be restricted by thinking you can't. That's our problem. We believe that it's not for us. I remember somebody brought up Muhammad Ali, or Ali anyways, and I remember watching some of his earlier stuff, and he would tell you, I'm the best. And when I watched the young version of Mike Tyson fight, he was an interview with him one day on one of the talk shows, and the person is showing Mike, the show is showing Michael walking into, Mike Tyson walking into the ring, and he's going in to do his fight. And the person, the interviewer says, what are you thinking right now as you're walking into this ring to go fight this guy? And Mike Tyson said, how dare he wants to challenge me? And I remember going, wow. Because he knew I'm going to win. He knew that. If he was going in there saying, well, I'm going to get my butt whooped. Yeah, it probably would happen. Quite often, you probably don't even know of him, know about him. But if he's going, he goes, how dare that man wants to fight me? This is my throne. I am standing. That's, let me at him. And he did. And he won for many years because he knew he was undefeated. So he was at the best state of mind, knowing that he is going to accomplish And you've heard me say this many times on this show, that if you are going into battle thinking you're not going to win, there's no need for you to go. You've already lost by the choice, the decision that you've made. Oh, I was going to whoop my ass. I'm not even going to bother. Let me go home and the end of it. But if you had a different approach, you're going, you know what? I am Iron Mike. I am Muhammad Ali. I am Gandhi. I'm going to do this. So said, so done. It was done, and we honor them today. We, every single one of us, has that ability within us to say that and act on it and carry it out. Please, you 65-year-old man, don't be joining no gym thinking you'll be heavyweight champion of the world. Because champion of what? Sorry, I needed to clarify that. The heavyweight champion boxer of the world. And because, you know, we do have restriction to the body. We do have restrictions. The knees can't handle it. I don't think I could take one of Mike Tyson's punch in my kidney. Can take one anywhere, you know. So therefore, we have a shelf life. And of course, in the sports world, it's good from, I don't know, 18 to 35, 34. And then you find a few exceptions that might have gone a little bit more. But typically, they put themselves to that test. They get the best of the best at the right time. And they saw through the window when it was right in front of them. And, you know, they've accomplished. So we have the same abilities to do it. So remember, whatever it is that you're hoping to accomplish, do a body check, a mind check. Can you do it? And are you physically able to do it anymore? I will not go out tomorrow morning and sign up to run a 20K run. Not 20 years ago, I would. Today, no, nah. Because it would take me the rest of my life to prep myself to run five. I'm just saying, you know. But the point being, your window of opportunity is very important. And the window of opportunity is something that you should always be mindful of. Are you physically able to do it? If you are now, you know, a married couple with three children and you're both working just to keep the lights on, the roof above your head and bellies full, it's probably not a good time to go backpacking without the kids through Europe for a few months. We did it. It was great. It was fun. It was a lot of things, a lot of, you know, experience through life. But we saw through the window when it was our turn. If you're doing that now and you're leaving a note on the kids just to tell them where to get food because they're very young, you probably missed your window. But we're not going to dangle on that for very long. I'm simply talking today about the ability to adjust your mind into the condition or the life that you want. Greatness is within your hands, in your grasp, and in your, it's being told to you. And this is not a made up story. It does exist. It is real. Find that door, that path that leads to this greatness. A lot of us are missing it because we're so busy doing so many things, or we're so busy holding on to something that's behind us. We seem so proud to be able to tell our friends, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. I got to go. You know. Well, it sounds fascinating and you're probably stroking your ego, but at the end of the day, if you're not spending any time for you, you're allowing your most valuable currency to run out. That hourglass was flipped upside down when you were born, and watch the grain of sands fall through. Eventually, the last one will fall. Before that happens, appreciate the fact that you've got this greatness and your window of opportunity may still depend in, because I have no idea what you're hoping to do, no idea what you're hoping to accomplish. I wanted to learn a lot of things in my younger days, and I was going through all this reading and studying and schooling, and then I realized, well, I don't really need to do that. It's not really that important to me. And then at some point, you have to change, and you have to entertain the children or make money to take care of your lifestyle and all these other things. So priority tend to shift, because the window of wanting to pack a bag and put it on my back had passed. Did it for a little bit, but you can't do it now because right now you're addressing something else. But to accomplish personal gains in your life, and I think one of the biggest things that you might want to tackle is, why are we so afraid? What are we afraid of? were we conditioned to believe that fear's got to be the worst thing on this line? So we stay in a bad situation, a bad job, a bad relationship, a bad neighborhood, because we're too afraid to step out? And are we sitting there, standing there, waiting there, thinking that it will change on its own? Well, no, we may have to implement the changes and may have to make that move on our own. It hasn't changed. They make promises, and for some weird reason, us human beings, we're hoping to be rescued or taken care of. By whom and for what? Failure is not a part of your life unless you choose it. Success is a part of your life. You must choose it for whatever the success is. Is it to have the nicest shoes in the neighborhood? Well, you know, you can do it. No one's going to criticize or judge. But you have to wait and understand that what you want out of life is in your hands. You have to know how to accomplish it. Where you're going through, and I said this earlier, believing in a lot of thoughts that's going through your mind, and you don't hold on to any of them long enough. You do it for a week, and then you let it go and get a new one. Don't do it for a week. You hold it, let it go, and get a new one, and so on and so forth. And for the rest of your life, every day you're thinking, or a week or a month, you're thinking, I'm going to do this. Ah, forget it. I'm going to do that. Ah, forget it. No, that's not important. And your friend will say, hey, whatever happened to wanted to da da da? Oh yeah, that was a long time ago. I don't want to do it anymore. So constantly what you're doing is you're, you know, raising out, and you're picking up that person and forget it. Sit down. I'll pick you up later. And then you go to something different. And then you come back and go, come on, let's get up. And then you say, forget about it. And this is the somebody that I'm referring to. My weird analogy is that your mood and your spirit or the desire to accomplish. You tease him and he gets up, or her and she and it, and gets up and say, hey, let's go do it. And then you change your mind. Eventually, you know, that self is going to say, you know what, leave me alone. Leave me that you have a lot of talk. You have a lot of BS that you carry. Leave me alone. And that's where you've settled. You just said, forget it. It's never going to work. You give up on yourself. And that's the worst thing you could possibly do. Before I go any further, do we have any more emails?
We just have a couple of emails. Shane wrote in. He said, that was a great story about the dog. I do wish a lot of people had more common sense. That's from Shane. Commenting on that. And let's see here. Okay, Ella wrote in, do we really all have a purpose here on life? How do we know what it is? And how do we know if it's the right thing? I think sometimes we just live, do what we need to do, and then we die. That's from Ella. And lastly, Andrew said he wants to know where he can purchase your book. That's from Andrew. Back to you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, Andrew. Everybody else who's like Andrew, I go through these stories and I get caught up in what I'm saying and I forget. There is a book, Awaken and Ascension Guide by Barrington, and you could find it on Amazon.ca. And it's there. I did a check on it today. It's finally there. We're trying to adjust the numbers, and we're working on that right now. So soon you'll see the book has been reduced from its original cost. Amazon, Awaken an Ascension Guide, designed to align you to your true purpose. Ella, talking about the purpose, and I just mentioned that word purpose, much as you did, and do we know what our purpose is? It's easy to find out. We are able to find out our purpose, and we could do this to accomplishing and finding out who we are. The minute you know who you are, then you will know what your purpose is. To do this, we talk about meditation. I'm going really fast because I want to get through all of this. We talk about meditation that allows you to empty the brain, clean the slate, erase everything that you were, empty the cup of who you think you are that you've been carrying around for how many years you've been around here, and then refill it with something that is a more conscious level, raising you to the higher level of consciousness. Unfortunately, a lot of us has to go through clogging, you know, unclog the wheels that's been stuck for a long time, unclog our vision that's been focused on something else for a long time, unclogging our thought patterns and whatnot, because we've been telling ourselves all these negative things, whatever they may be, for a long time. So we have to go through that process. In order for you to come to a minute or moment of enlightenment, or for you to come to a level of higher level of consciousness, you must remove from your thought box, pattern, cup, the ideas of what you hold for yourself. And you don't physically have to go in there with a broom and a duster and a vacuum to remove those things. You simply just have to implement a new method in which to make that the new boss. Where anger lives in you, love should be. Frustration, defeat, deplete, giving up, failure, all those things is where the courage should be. So basically the room's being occupied by the wrong things. And in doing that, it makes us all want to escape. You want to know why we drink and do drugs and try to get away from reality? Let's clean house. Let's remove all the things that's restricting us and move on to a better place in life. Spirituality is that the avenue that gives you the greatness that you hope for. The dog story, Sean, you know, I heard that story many, many years ago. I think I was in high school, which coincidentally has been a few years from now. Yeah. But it's true. And I say these things all the time. The analogy is for people to step up and find out what we're willing to put up with. And we only complain about certain things. We do nothing about it. How many times do you see somebody walking down the road limping and say their shoe's too tight? Is it really too tight? And one of the favorite ones that I have all the time, you know, you're on the road with somebody and they say, I got to go pee. I said, okay, cool. And they'll say, no, I'm not going here. I'm not going there. I got to go find and I would say, yep, you don't have to pee bad enough. You can hold it. You're the dog that's laying on the nail. No disrespect to anybody. I'm simply saying, if you had to go, you would go, because nobody wants to face the outer of not making it, right? So when you say, no, I gotta wait, then you end up waiting for hours. I don't know how that's possible with some people, but hey, good luck to you. When you have to go, you have to go. So I say all that simply to say, if that dog was feeling enough pain laying on the nail, he would have gotten up a long time ago, because he's able to. Hi. Thank you for being a part of the show today. We got about 5 more minutes. And in the 5 minutes, again, I want to spend a lot of most of this time to talk about the importance of knowing who you are. We had an email, and Ella was asking about how do we know our purpose, or what is our purpose? Or do we actually, part of her question specifically asked, do we even have a purpose? Well, you're here, you know. And you didn't come here just to walk around in the forest and go home. You've come to learn something, to observe something. Now, are we to focus on the purpose? And I'm going back to this in a quick minute. We're on a journey in an airplane. And the airplane takes off at destiny A, and it's going to end up in destiny B. That's what the airplane does. And then you're on it, and eventually you are going to reach destiny B, because you've joined or got on board at A, and your journey goes through, much like I was born this date and I was dead that day. We're doing the dash in the middle, and you're on this airplane, start the same place, will end up the same place. Hopefully, you know, does it matter where you sit? Isn't it about the journey, the flight? You're on this airplane. I'm on this airplane. We're going from point A to point B, and we're seeing all the same things, experiencing all the same things. Why would I be calling down the coach and laughing at you because you can't come up to first class because it makes me feel better, or vice versa? Or I get the aisle seat versus the window seat. It's not about the vehicle that gives you the journey. It's about the journey. You're going from point A to point B. If that airplane crashes, God forbid, and I'm not suggesting, but we would all die and end up in the same place. So we've started the same way. We will end the same way. The journey in the middle is just what we got to do. Do we have a purpose? I don't know what yours is. I don't know what mine is, but I find that a lot of the times throughout my life, I've always found when I say something to people, I got their attention, and I find that I was led into spirituality, and studying and understanding it has given me a better way to see my own self through life, my views, at many times, and we're not going to talk about past regurgitation at 2 minutes to go in the show, but many points in my life, a lot of the things that I've experienced, I was teaching people things. Did I come back to teach? I don't know. I still am struggling to find the purpose in this life. Thank you all for being a part of the show. Today went really well in my mind. I'm loving the fact, and I thank you all for sending emails out all the time. I get them and I respond to them as best as I can. If I didn't, it's not because I'm neglecting you. It's simply because there's so many other things that I want to accomplish. And I'm not learning a heck of a lot because I'm busy holding on to some of the things behind me while the new things in front of me goes missing or not being attended to. I want to thank you all for being a part of the Barrington Awaken show. I respect you being there. I want everybody to have a very pleasant week. Remember that you are the greatest source that exists, and do not allow yourself to sit in the back seat because you are the driver. And the things that you've accomplished thus far in life was a direct result of how you've seen or how you've thought about yourself throughout this day. Therefore, if you want to become the GOAT, the greatest of all time, you do have that ability within yourself to step up, wake up, and understand that you are just as accomplished as anyone else. Thank you, and we will talk another day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. Right here on Reality Radio 101.